The Greek word tharseo means take courage or have courage. Depending on which translation you're reading from, they generally try to translate the word the same in each context. So you'll find phrases like take courage or be of good cheer or be of good comfort or even take heart. Jesus used this word in different situations that can help us, as we study them, to take courage concerning various situations of life. The first occurrence of it in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. The paralytic at Capernaum is told to take courage. Jesus had crossed over the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. Mark chapter 2, verse number 1, a parallel passage. He was teaching in a house where a crowd had gathered together to the extent that there was no more room, not even at the door. Four men brought a friend of theirs, this paralytic, to Jesus. The man himself was helpless. He was lying on his bed. And so his friends brought him to Jesus, lying on that bed. They also had to dig an opening in the roof, removing some of the roof and lowering the man down into the very presence of Jesus. When the man is in front of Jesus, he's seeing their faith, Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 2, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, son, your sins are forgiven." When sins are forgiven, it is indeed a time to take courage. If you continue reading there in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 3, it says, "And the scribes and some of the scribes said to themselves, 'This fellow blasphemes.' And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk?'" It wasn't really a matter of which was easier to say, but the point that Jesus was trying to make, he just comes right out and states it in verse 6. "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." I said it this way. Then he said to the paralytic, "Get up, pick up your bed, and go home." And he got up and went home. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God, who had given man such authority. As a result, it's by the authority of God given to the Son of Man that sins are forgiven. It was by the same authority that this paralytic was healed so that he was able to rise and walk and go home. God gave the Son of Man authority to forgive sins, and it was by his blood that the forgiveness of sins would come. Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28 that his blood was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. When standing before his apostles in one of those four post-resurrection appearances that occur in Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Luke 24, verses 46 through 48. What happened with Peter on the day of Pentecost? He preached that very message. When Peter preached to the crowd, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, he said, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus has authority to forgive sins. He poured out his blood for the forgiveness of sins. He instructed his followers to speak and to teach about repentance for the forgiveness of sins. That this message be proclaimed. When Peter had the opportunity to preach and proclaim Christ, he preached repentance. And when he told those people on that day to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, those who had received his word were baptized. Acts 2 and verse 41. Another apostle wrote to baptized believers in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our sins can be forgiven today. In this, we can take courage. The woman with the issue of blood was told in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, to take courage. She had been afflicted with this issue for 12 years. She believed that Jesus would heal her if she could just touch His garment. So she went where He was and reached out and touched His outer garment. Jesus commended her faith and healed her, saying in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. Her faith was commendable. Our faith too can be commendable. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, it says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Hebrews 11 verse 2 says, "For by it," by faith, "the men of old gained approval," that is, commendation. They were commended for their faith. As you continue reading there in Hebrews chapter 11, you come across many examples of those who had faith and because of their faith were commended. Near the end of the chapter, as the text is divided for us, we are told, "And all these people," all these examples, "having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. But God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." Hebrews 11, verse 39. The heavenly and eternal approval of God does not come until the end of time. Everyone then who is approved of God through their faith, whether under the old covenant or now under the new covenant, will be commended. They will receive the promise. The heavenly Jerusalem, as talked about in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. The very dwelling place of God, or as Galatians 4 and verse 26 states it, the Jerusalem above. If we live by faith, we can take courage that we are healed of sin and have the promise of heaven as ours. The disciples were called in a storm, and they were told on that occasion to take courage. Matthew chapter 14, beginning there in verse 22 and going through verse 27. "But preceding this storm, Jesus instructed His disciples to cross over to the other side of the lake. And while they're traveling over across the lake, He goes up on the mountain by Himself to pray." Matthew 14, verse 23. "A violent storm suddenly threatens the disciples' boat. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Take note of that word that is directly before the word fear at the end of verse 26. The word is translated "in" or "for" in the English translations, but the Greek word is apo. And although apo can be translated in different ways based upon the context, the overwhelming majority of the time, apo is translated "from." From fear, the disciples who were caught in the storm cried out. It matches the order and the operation of what we do oftentimes in our lives. We wait until we're in the midst of the storm, facing adverse circumstances that we don't think that we can overcome, and only then do we cry out from fear of failure. Cry out to the Lord for help. But notice verse 27. "But immediately Jesus reassured the disciples, take courage, it is I. Any time the Lord is near is a time to take courage. But when He comes near to say, do not be afraid, when we are afraid, we need to be reminded of these very words of the Lord. Do not be afraid. Jesus comes near to us in the storms of life. Financial reverses, terminal illness, chronic disability or sickness, even in death. When we are disappointed, hurt in the heart, Jesus says, take courage. Take courage. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Our Savior is near to us today. James chapter 4, verse number 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. James wrote these words because the human heart has a problem of pollution. From the polluted heart comes the pursuit of pleasures, which result in constant fighting and quarreling, killings, a breaking down of prayer, where spiritual things are not sought, but sinful things are requested, where there is fellowship with the world that makes man an enemy of God, where we grieve the Holy Spirit, slander one another, and boast about the future. The solution that James gives to this polluted heart and the results of it is to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves because God will be the one to give grace and lift us up when we choose to submit to God, resist the devil, repent, and depend upon God for the future. Draw near to God and He will protect you in the storms and others like them. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22 says, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Christ's sacrifice allows us to boldly petition God for the things that we are in need of. And in those times when we are dealing with the storms of life and we have taken courage and we are not afraid, we can boldly petition God for the very things we need. God said, as recorded in Hebrews 10, verse 38, my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Our hearts need to, long to, trust God and lean upon Him, living by faith. So in full assurance of faith, take courage that He is with us during the storms. Peter was so assured in his faith that if it was indeed the Lord, he could step out on the water and go to Him. And when the Lord bid him come, he did exactly that. It was only when he lost sight of his full assurance of faith in the Lord, when he paid attention to the things going on around him, the storm he was in rather than the Lord who was with him, that he began to sink. Jesus told his disciples as they were preparing for his coming departure from them to take courage in John chapter 16. The context actually begins in John chapter 13 as the Last Supper and goes all the way through the end of John chapter 17. But there in John chapter 16, we find that trials and sorrows rob us of courage, as seen in three rounds of conversations between the Lord and His disciples. He is preparing them mentally by speaking to them about what's going to happen and maybe even the order of it. But He speaks of His departure, and so for the first round, John chapter 16, verses 1 through 15, Jesus warned that the persecution would come to them because their persecutors do not know or love the Father or the Son. But Jesus tells them that a Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come to them, convicting sinners, condemning Satan, counseling saints, and championing the Savior. As a result, a second round comes in verses 16 through 28. And the disciples simply say, we don't understand what Jesus is saying when He says, a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. What is he talking about? What does he mean by these things? So Jesus explained his death would bring about great grief for them, but his resurrection would bring about great joy for them. And so for the third round of conversation, verses 29 through 33, the disciples said, "Now you are speaking plainly. We do believe that you came from God." Based upon them knowing that Jesus came from God, Jesus informed them that because they believed it, because they believed Him, they would have many trials and sorrows. Then Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." John 16, verse 33. In a time when sorrow had filled their hearts, there was more that Jesus wanted to say, but he could not because they could not bear it. At the same time, they were needing to learn how to ask the Father for the things they were in need of, since Jesus would no longer be with them, and they had to learn how to navigate life without Jesus meeting their needs and making requests for them. So there they were. The disciples were confused. The disciples lacked understanding. And it's in that context that Jesus sought to reassure them. He told them of his coming departure, John 16, verse 32. Then he gave them reassurance. "These things I have spoken to you so that you may have peace in me." He instructed them, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage." And so he gave them the reason, "I have overcome the world." Jesus brings the same reassurance to us today. The world's problems and temptations often seem to overwhelm us, but the very words of Jesus inform us that He knows we have these afflictions. In the world, you have tribulation. Jesus' words also tell us that He knows what we need in those times of facing tribulations. He said, "But take courage." It's what we need when we're facing tribulations, when we're facing the things of the world that are problems and temptations for us. We need to take courage. Take courage based upon the Lord and what He has done, which is what His words inform us He has done. He can meet our needs because He has already overcome the world. He who has overcome is able to assist us and help us to overcome the world. You see, our Savior has overcome the world so that we can indeed overcome the world. It's what John wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. He said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We believe. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that Jesus is the one who came from God. And our faith in Him is what overcomes the world. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 7 shows that those who continue to believe in spite of persecution will inherit all of the promises made to the overcomers in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Including the blessings that are now named in chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. As a result, the message is to take courage. Take courage knowing that Jesus has overcome the world and He is leading you to overcome the world as well. The fifth and final occasion in which Jesus uses this term to take courage is in a situation with Paul. Paul is under arrest, but yet he was told to take courage. In Acts chapter 22, Paul is arrested. He goes before several trials. And by the time we get to Acts chapter 23, he's under trial before a hostile court known as the Jewish Sanhedrin. And if you examine the situation closely, it's as if Paul is standing there all alone. And he was struck on the mouth by order of the high priest, Acts chapter 23 and verse number 2. Lashing out, Paul said, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit there and try me according to the law and in violation of the law order me to be struck?" Some bystanders, those who were watching this trial, questioned Paul about his reviling God's high priest. Upon learning that it was the order of the high priest that Paul be struck on the mouth, Paul apologized. He apologized because he knew the scriptures. He even stated the scriptures, "You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people." Paul turned attention quickly away from himself by referring to the resurrection, which caused a dispute between the Sadducees and the Pharisees who were present at this trial. The argument became so violent between the two parties that Paul was removed by the soldiers from the court for his own protection. But then Acts 23 verse 11 says that that night, the Lord stood by Paul's side and said, "Take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you will witness at Rome also." On trial for his very life, Paul had every reason to be scared and concerned, but he was not. And it was the Lord who came to his aid using those words, "Take courage." Paul knew he would live from that moment at least until he went to Rome, because the Lord said, "You will witness for me in Rome also." Paul knew from that moment until the time that he made it to Rome and was given an opportunity to witness that his life would be spared. He faced several things in the following chapters leading up to Acts chapter 28 when he finally gets to Rome. But our Lord is with us, just as He was with Paul, when we choose to go to work in His service. You remember the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. You get down to verse number 20 and Jesus says, "Lo, behold, look, give attention to this fact. I am with you always, even to the end of the age." In other words, you take courage because I'm going to be with you. And wherever you go, in doing my will and carrying out my instruction, I will be with you. Take courage that the Lord is with us in fulfilling the mission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to all creation. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. Take courage. Take courage. Evaluate the situations. Evaluate the people involved in them. Evaluate their faith. And learn to take courage in the darkest of earthly circumstances. We can take courage. It's what the Lord would have us to do. When we see things as being so bleak and so miserable, He comes and says, "Take courage. I am with you. Do not be afraid." So Jesus brought a word of hope and cheer to many who were in dire straits. And Jesus brings a similar word of cheer to us today. But to receive the confidence and the assurance, we must come to Him in faith and be actively engaged in His service. Is your faith in Him? Is your faith in Him? If your faith is in Him, then The circumstances, our human side will be downcast, but our spiritual side will be uplifted. Why? Because it is by faith that we please God, and it's by faith that we will be rewarded. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him," please God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." If you are living by faith and you are seeking God, then you know the result will be reward. It's only when we fail in our faith. It's only when we fail to do that which the Lord has instructed us that we would not be pleasing to God. And those who are not pleasing to God will not receive His promised reward. So is your faith in Him or in the circumstances you're facing, the difficulties that are upon you? Have you come to Him? For he who comes to God must believe that He is. Have you come to Him? Have you brought all of your problems and given them to Him and asked Him to help you? Have you come to Him so that He can whisper those words, "Take courage, do not be afraid"? Take courage and declare your faith to the world by your obedience to God, just as all of those men and women of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 did. Then you too will gain God's approval. And when you have God's approval, you can have great courage, great confidence, great assurance that come what may, you can face it. The Lord may not remove you from it. He might not remove it from you, but He'll be with you and He'll go through the storm by your side. And with that, great confidence to face each and every day, especially when preparing for the coming judgment. Tonight, if you're not prepared for the coming judgment, you need to take courage. You need to take courage that your sins can be forgiven, just like that paralytic, and that with your sins forgiven, that you can faithfully serve God, and your obedient faith will be what carries you through all the way to hearing those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Tonight, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation to put Christ on in baptism, to have those sins washed away, or to be restored and find forgiveness from the Lord for things that are amiss, He would speak those words yet again and say, "Take courage. I am waiting. I am waiting for your response." Just as He is, as together we stand and sing.